Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 139, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. Yeah. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Fox News, fuck Rush Limbaugh, fuck Buck Sexton, fuck Sean Hannity, Carlson, fuck J.K. Rowling.
Fuck J.K.
It's Thursday, June 25th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. No matter how hard I try, these jorts keep riding up my thighs and I can't break through. My mask protects me from you. Police sad, we don't like them. It takes time to defund them. But after all is said and done, would you like to see my thighs in the sun? Whoa, do you wanna see my thighs in the sun? Wear some jorts, don't skip leg day, cause as of now they're not strong enough, no. Do you wanna see my thighs in the sun? Umbro shorts from the 7 days. I really don't think they show enough. Oh! Good luck, Dan. Good luck, Dan.
Love it.
That is courtesy of Literate Platypus and Christy Yamaguchi Main. Tag team, thank y'all. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Let's just keep this Jack's thigh exposure theme going with pale white. My jeans are so tight. Against my thighs lay my pockets exposed. Once more, from my hips to the floor. My white legs are blinding, and my jean shorts will go on and. Okay, thank you so much, Casey Snyder at Tree Climb Casey. I know you wrote that for Jack, but you said, I have the vocals, I have the meats, yeah. I have the vocals. We do it all here. Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody.
They wrote it, quick turnaround. And they were like, wait, I think Miles better sing this. And that, you know, that was Celine. A wise decision. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented, the brilliant Danielle Radford.
Hi, good to be back. Hello, hello, hello.
It's great to have you back.
It's been too long, Danielle.
I know. It's good. It turns out we're in quarantine. I don't know if you guys knew that, but...
Yeah,
we're in Quark. And I had to build a home office finally and act like an adult.
Because you're a like digital media maven, you know, I don't know what you don't have your hands on. So did you, prior to this, were you always going to an office or did you work like at another space that didn't require a home office prior to this?
For some jobs, I would go to an office. For a lot of them, I would work from my bed like a weird person. And then
like
now,
a college student.
Yeah, and then now I was like, tax man can't get mad at me for buying a desk, so I bought a desk. Wow. Some people buy a zoo. I bought a desk. I took a...
Some people do buy a zoo.
Some people buy a zoo. I bought a desk. I have some things from one of my jobs that I do because I'm there so often. I was able to, like, I have a stand, so I look, like, not super dead when I do these things. I bought, like, a cheap light for when I stream. I have a mirror somewhere that I clearly didn't use today. I have a TV that's probably 10 years old that I'm using as a second monitor. Living it up. You can see in the background, that's my recumbent bike. That's what I use to keep the sads away.
You've got it all.
I just heard you shout it out on a film podcast as like one of our great film critics. So shout out to you.
Who said that?
I heard you. I think it was on like I think it was either on the Blank Check podcast or Bechdel cast.
It might be Bechdel because Bechdel, I feel like their sliding scale for great is do they make me laugh? And I'm not saying I'm not saying that in a bad way. Like I actually think that they are they themselves have great opinions that are very nuanced. I guess technically have critiqued stuff, but I would I don't. I guess I'm a film critic. I think it's weird.
Don't be so modest.
It's not modesty. It's not modesty.
You never miss, Radford.
It's
never
weird,
miss.
Man. It's weird. Shut up, Miles. Appreciate you.
All right, Danielle, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about Bill Barr. Maybe he should be inducted up top to our fuck list. But
the list would be too long at that point. But yeah.
But anyways, he's just fucking up the country. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the kind of recent pattern of... you know, people just issuing apologies and deleting proof of their ignorance. Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Tina Fey. We'll talk about why that might not be the solution. We'll talk about something called third degree racism. We'll talk about the massive dust cloud that is floating across the Atlantic to swallow the southeastern United States. What people are watching right now? What topped the box office last weekend?
There's a box office?
Yeah, I was just about to ask. Yeah. I don't know that there's a box office aside from Trolls 2.
I think I'm excited for that just because of the idea that there is a, like, that there are box office receipts that need analysis, but I love it.
Yeah, I think it's all drive-through. Like, this isn't, like, streaming video. This is, like, what people are watching at drive-in movies.
Oh, because, like, it's not always just things that are coming out now. Like, some people are just bringing back the old classics.
Is it okay if I shout out streaming shows?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
We'll do that when we get there. Yeah, for sure.
When we get there.
Of course, your opinion as a critic is valued here. You never miss, Daniel.
God damn it.
Never.
It's too much responsibility.
It isn't.
I am too shitty to have this much responsibility.
You're such a cursed god. You don't realize the power you have. It's really something else. It's really hard for me to see as a mortal.
Trash ass. I'm so trash.
Have you guys looked don't ahead on the doc anything. At that story about the drive-in movies box office? Did you see what the number one
No, not
is?
At all.
Okay. So maybe we can we'll play a guessing it. Game when we get down there. But it's actually very appropriate, the number one movie. It's a classic. But first, Danielle, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Oh, you know what? Now that we're in a place where we can just look at computers and my phone, fuck it, man. I'm just going to literally look at my search history. I haven't looked at anything.
There you go.
I'm literally, Danielle Radford is checking her search history. What is the last thing I looked at? Oh, it's a BuzzFeed article. But 25 LGBTQ couples that are amazing, but not a lot of people talk about them. And they're all couples that gay-ass people talk about, so I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But that was my last search thing. It was just me being gay as shit.
You searched for it? You heard about the article, and you said, let me find the article?
Yeah, because like, I didn't know who it was, because someone was like... Right. So I have several accounts, some of which are secret stan accounts, because I want to stan secretly. And for one of my secret stan accounts, they were like, oh, well, they mentioned one of the ships that we all ship. And I was like, oh, I'll check that out. But no one linked it. So I looked it up and I was like, they mentioned like Willow and Buffy. Well, that's not the ship. If I give away the ship, then I give away my secrets. But they mentioned Willow and Buffy. And I was like, literally everyone mentions. What are you even fucking talking about? Everyone mentions Willow and Buffy if you're talking about gay shit, man.
I'm just getting into the maybe season 4 where Willow's finally starting to fuck with magic. You know what I mean? I'd like to see her come into her own with the art, dark arts. You know
okay,
what I mean?
Let's talk because a lot of people have a lot of feelings about season, literally everything after season 3. I think.
Oh, wait,
they're
no,
all
I
great.
Think. I think I'm in season 3, actually. Yes,
oh, season 3. Season 3 is. Mwah, I will say season 3 is probably the best season, but a lot of people think everything went like super downhill. Maybe it's not the same, but I think that there's a lot of really good stuff, and I think a lot of them are angel stands. And then if you like problematic ships, get ready because those are coming. I love a problematic ship. I hate myself for it. Ah, oh, but I love it.
What's your favorite problematic ship of all time?
Ooh, my favorite problematic ship right now is Shameless, Ian and Mickey.
Wow, I don't watch enough Shameless to know who those people are, but I'm assuming it's not the father and the daughter.
Oh, God, no, not that problematic.
Okay, look, I'm just saying, anything. So
no, oh, God, no. that's some fan fiction weird shit. These are just two gay boys who were not able to be super gay because of their neighborhood and sometimes punch each other only because, like, punching is the language that they know. They punch everyone. They punch their brothers. They punch everyone. So that's currently. I also love Logan and Veronica from Veronica Mars. That was a problematic ship. I won't spoil it because Miles, you're still doing through some Buffy, but there's a problematic ship coming. Yeah, no, but no incest. No
yeah,
incest.
Yeah, that's good. I'm just showing my own ignorance because the only thing I know about this show is William H. Macy and then Emmy Rossum. Right? Are the people on the show?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's and I'm saying that's the only thing I know. So of course, you know,
and that's honestly like if you were to go onto any of the fan fiction sites, like if you look up Supernatural on a fan fiction site, it's incest ahoy, and it's weird because I've never watched the show, which seems like it would be a show for me, but it's also kind of very bro-y. I like my supernatural, super gay stuff. Like that's how I prefer my witty stuff, and theirs is very bro-y. But it's like it gets really gay on the fan sites, and I'm like, that's fine. But why is it so incesty? Anyway, sorry, I'm diverging.
Well, you know, we're all. I think things are revealed by the thing by the people we ship. You know,
things are revealed by the people we ship.
Supernatural and then space, and it says Supernatural season 15.
Oh yeah, they're also still
seasons.
Yeah, they had a crossover with Scooby-Doo. Like they've been in a bunch of stuff, and also a lot of people want those brothers to fuck. Yeah. It's so weird. It's fun.
Are the writers just in the room like, all right, what are we going to do this season? And don't say the brothers are going to fuck because they're not going to do that.
It's 15 years. At some point, someone has to be like, okay, but people keep saying the brothers need to, oh, I should just go get coffee. I'll just go get coffee.
Yeah, right.
Danielle, what is something you think is underrated?
I'm going to be real cliche. Wearing your fucking mask is underrated. Just please keep wearing. I mean, I know, I'm sure people have said it. Please keep wearing your masks. I'm tired of people that I love tweeting about their family and friends dying. So could you please? And also, and I mean, just selfishly, due to things that we were hearing from nurses when the first wave was really bad. Look, man, I'm a chubby fucking black chick and I am a woman of a certain age. Look, man, if I don't leave my apartment because if I get, and I'm healthy as a horse. And I know this because I recently was having a spat of panic attacks like back last year. Which means that they give you a whole battery of tests to make sure it is a panic attack and not that all of your insides are bad. So heart, good. Blood pressure, good. The thing that everyone will say because I'm fat and black. Diabetes, good, you fucking pieces of shit. Everything is good. I'm like literally, like I had twice like a battery of tests that were like, nah, you're good. You just, your brain's bad. And I was like, well, I already fucking knew that. But
spending
if I,
a lot of money to figure that piece out already.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to it. I literally, for people who, no one here watches anything I do, but I had my first panic attack on air. Luckily, I was hosting at Screen Junkies / Fandom, and luckily it was right at the end, and I, as gracefully as I could, I went, oh, and then everyone started talking around me, and I went, oh, I have to go, because if I was going to die, I was not going to die on air, you motherfuckers. But so, my thing is that, like, if I go in and I have COVID symptoms, I don't know that they're not going to say she's a lost cause and don't put her on a goddamn respirator. Oof. I don't know that, man. Yeah. And I, again, I'm fucking, well, not as, well, no, a horse. I'm smaller than one. But, like, I don't know that. And there have been too many reports of otherwise super healthy like 25, 30 year olds who I'm end not fucking really doing it. And then again, I've had friends who have had family members pass away. I've known people who've passed away. Lori Kilmartin recently had
heartbreaking run on Twitter that I think everybody, if you followed her, everyone was glued to. But at the same time, so heartbreaking.
Yeah, like she processes humor the way that I do, where it's like, man, I'm just going to joke through it. And she did.
Right.
And it's so open and harsh and heartbreaking and vulnerable. And if you can read that Twitter thread and not wear a mask after that, fuck you. You're the worst person I've ever met. You're the worst person in the world.
Yeah. I think it's things like that too, where, you know, as people get cocky and because their city leaders have been lobbied furiously by business interests to reopen, are taking that as a sign that things are safe. We're not any close to having the kinds of treatments we need to feel good about taking any kind of risk like that. We're still
trusting businesses to know what the fuck and about health, guys. Right. Like, that's not their job. And a lot of times business is not their job. They have other people behind them who are like, hey, this is a bad business thing. And they're like, yeah, but I'm going to do it. And then all the people they pay are like, okay, but this is really shitty. And then it gets up to the people who are like, yeah, but we already told him that. And then he was like, I'm not going to do it. So so say it again and you're going to get real fired.
And
so,
like, my performance bonus is tied to how he fills out a survey at the end of the year.
Exactly. And when you hear about people making those big bucks happen in bonuses because a lot of time bonuses are not super taxable. Yeah, and especially, and if you have to pay alimony or child support, sometimes in some states, those bonuses can't be used because they are not quote unquote consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I'm real cranky today.
No, this, this is. There's a lot of ills in the world. I think we just need to talk about consistently because I think prior to this, there are a lot of times it's been very easy to just sort of be like accept that the world is a cruel, fucked up place. And I think there's definitely a certain movement of people, depending on where how they're motivated, to address that we have just been ignoring that everything is fucked up, and now we're like, oh wait, hold the fuck up. This everybody's seeing this cruel ass shit, right? Everybody is seeing that. It actually doesn't seem to matter where you live or anything. Like, everyone is operating under the same cruel system. But, you know, I think it takes people are moving at different speeds to get to that place to want to feel like, you know, motivated enough to take it into their own hands and, you know, want to change for the better.
It helps if you know
black. Danielle, what is something you think is overrated?
People telling me that I would hate cops less if I was related to one. My dad's a cop. Fuck your face. I hate cops. All cops suck. Mostly my dad. Is there an acronym for all cops are bastards, but especially my dad?
My dad.
Is there a all cops are my dad? I don't know, because I can, like, it's, and for people who might know who I, like, obvious, I'm my stepdad's fucking the dopest, he's my pops, whatever. His profession also has problems, but he's not a piece of shit. Yeah, I like, every time I say something about, like, because I've thrown it in, where I've been like, is CAB cop shit? And people have always been like, well, you wouldn't feel that way if someone you were related to had their life on the line. Fuck your face, man. I feel extra that way because I heard the way that my fucking dad talked about the people that were in his... In fact, one of the... When he was trying to stop being... Because at a point, we got to a point where he was like, okay, well, he's not my dad, but maybe he can be like almost the realm of like an uncle I don't see. Like, I don't hate him, but we acknowledge each other's presence at parties. And then at one point I was living in the area that he was a cop of, and he was be like, oh, I want to get out of here because there's all the fruits and nuts. And I was like, you know that I am both, literally suffering for, like, not suffering, but you know that I am both a person dealing with mental illness and also queer as shit. Right. And so then we just stopped talking. And then now, a thing that I found out is that his precinct, his old precinct, I don't know where he is now. He goes wherever he goes. I don't give a shit. He goes wherever dads go. You know how there's the farm that pets go to?
Right.
He goes to wherever shitty dads go to.
That great big convenience store in the sky where they have cigarettes and milk.
Yeah, Arizona, where the cigarettes are plentiful.
Where the store is that all these dads refer to when they go to the store.
Yeah, so he's at the store. But I know that the precinct that he was working at, where he was always like, oh, the fruits and nuts and we hate all of them and blah, 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 is the precinct that people took over in Seattle to make the zone.
Capitol Hill.
Yeah. Because that was where I lived for like so many years. But yeah, so that was East Precinct was his precinct. So that was really nice to find out.
It's so interesting to see the people's like logic loops they go through where they're like, I'm going to humanize someone who is actively participating in dehumanizing other people. Like at that point.
Right.
You know, but again, this isn't about objectively talking about police. Like, all this has done is been like, all right, new culture war battle zone, go.
Right.
And it's just, you know, there aren't many people I've seen like on the right who are willing to examine how over policing would work more than just to be like, defund the police,
which is
defend the police,
which is so funny because ain't they don't want to get treaded? Isn't that their whole fucking spiel? don't steppy or whatever.
I'm
a me. Don't put your boot on it. Which is like, well,
don't tread
all
on
of
me.
You were all of you were begging porn stars to step on your necks a year ago, back when that was still funny.
Right.
But also,
don't tread on me, but let me lick the tread of your boot, please.
It must taste good. Right? Yeah. It must be like Fruit Loops under there, like some shit. But yeah, so that's my overrated thing is people telling me that if a relative, because like my whole family, you are cops, military, like some kind of law thing, cops, military, legal, which I was a paralegal for a while, or you were straight up a criminal in jail. And that's my family. And there's
everyone had a strong hand in participating in a system of oppression.
Yeah, pretty shit. And it turns out a lot of the queer ones were the ones that were mostly it's fine. That's my overrated thing. Stop telling me that I would care more if my dad was a cop. He was a top cop. I cared none. All cops are bastards, especially my dad.
What is what's a myth, Danielle? What's something people think is true you know to be false, or vice versa?
Oh gosh, literally any way that Hollywood works. I don't know if I've said this before. Especially I think now that everyone's at home and we're all whatever, and everyone has opinions about when movies come out and all of this stuff. And there's a lot of moving parts to movies. And I think that people who don't know think it's more of an art than it is a business. And it's all, it's all fucking business, man. Especially like the way that Hollywood works. I mean, that might be a better one. Just the idea that like you get something because you know someone, you might get it. If someone can trust that you won't completely fuck it up and then fuck up their good name, they might put your resume in with stuff. And that's like the most that you get. You don't get shit. Nepotism, obviously. Like if you're
unless you know like the showrunner.
Yeah. And people don't talk about this. People always make fun of the Wayans for having Keenan give them all jobs. No one talks about the Coppolas. Cage is a fucking Coppola, you guys.
At least they have the fucking wherewithal to not change their fucking names. They're like, nah, we're Wayans. It's like, you know what time it is. Wayans everyone's is. Like, I'm Nick Cage, or I'm Jason Schwartzman, or you know
I am
I mean?
Angelina granted, Jolie. Some people,
yeah, granted, some people's names legally aren't Coppola, but like when you really look at it, you're like, damn, all y'all are. Everybody's here.
Damn, Angelina Jolie's a Coppola?
Not a Coppola. No. But her, you know, her dad.
Right.
Great patriot, John Voight.
John Voight. But yeah, no, but no, she's not a Coppola. But there are, Schwartzman is a Coppola, as Miles was saying.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that. Jason Schwartzman is a Coppola, and people don't fucking know that.
And he, like his, I don't think it was his first movie, but I remember when Rushmore was in production, they were like doing nationwide tryouts for that role. The school that I was at and did like tryouts, and then they were like, huh. We're going to go with a Coppola, I think, actually.
To be fair, I did make this reference on Twitter, but it reminds me very much of when Tori Spelling, when she did Saved by the Bell, they were all like, oh, well, she auditioned under a fake name. We didn't know it was her, as though that's the way the fucking auditions for network TV works. Okay, cool. Just anyone with any fucking name. Okay, sweet. And then they said the same thing again for 90210, both of which are Spelling Productions, where they're like, oh no, she came in and auditioned with a fake name. Again, as if that is a thing that actually works. And expected us all. And then by that point, we were like, well, Tori Spelling's just a person that will be in our life and we're fine. But they keep doing this myth of like, oh, well, we're pretending like the... Dude, it's fucking just stand up in your nepotism, whatever. Mm. Your daddy got you a job. Like it's... I know you think we won't take you seriously, and if you're shitty, you're right. Angelina Jolie is actually a talented actor. Nicolas Cage turned out to be good.
Nicolas Cage turned out to be a meme.
Also that, but when he wants to be good, he can be good.
Yeah. I can't take Leaving Las Vegas from him.
Yeah, you know, there are people who came from famous folks who are dope, but it's... That idea, because everyone pretends like they change their last name because they want to make sure that they're not being treated unfairly. No, you're doing it because you don't want us to make fun of you. Anyway, I'm talking too much.
Like Albert Brooks, I get. Your real name's Albert Einstein. It's going to be hard to gig when your name's out. And then your brother had to be Super Dave Osborne. You know what I mean? It's like, what a wild family that is. And then it's even funny because Jason Schwartzman's brother, Robert, he's in that band Rooney. Like everybody's got like a, you know, but hey, that's. That's sort of like what it's kind of like how LA is, though, you know, to a certain extent, right? Like a lot of the, you know, progeny of these producers and executives and directors and things like that, they end up at like one of three schools in the city and they all go to school together. And then you get Jonah Hill in a movie because he went to school with Dustin Hoffman's daughter. And she's like, this kid, Jonah, is the funniest kid at my school. He should be in your movie.
And then his sister is in movies and we don't even know it's a sister because they have different last names. Quote unquote.
But, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's so weird too. Like
Jack's making a face. What's her butt from from Booksmart is his sister.
What is it? Beanie Feldman?
Oh, really?
Beanie Feldman is his sister.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And you can tell when you watch him too, you're like,
Once you know it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all just a family business.
But if you're not family, it's not as easy to break in with friendship as you think it is.
No. Absolutely not. Yeah. The myth of American meritocracy is real and pervasive and complete and total bullshit. I think we're actually going to get into it when we get to third degree racism. But let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about that and Bill Barr.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and let's talk about Bill Barr. He's really, you know, for somebody who tries to stay quiet in the background, he's starting to become an area of focus.
Yeah, he really is. He's, I mean, when he first showed up, it's like, okay, he's going to take over the DOJ. And some people were like, maybe he'll help the country out.
Look, we're also stupid. Every time someone comes in who isn't a complete...
This is the guy.
If it's someone we've never heard of, we're like, oh, maybe he's not a complete piece of shit. They're all complete pieces of shit, or they wouldn't have drafted them to come in and do anything, guys.
Right.
That's why they came in. They're all pieces of shit.
Yeah, Jefferson Beauregard Sessions is a cartoon of racism, so it's like easy to just be like, well, so they got to be better than him, but it's like this guy is more efficient.
They got the baby from dinosaurs turned into a fucking attorney general, basically.
MAGA.
Yeah. There's so many photos of him where I'm like, it looks... Anyway, shout out to Jim Henson.
It is the best. Whole
so, rest in peace. You know, there's just been like a constant stream of controversies with this guy, whether it was completely misrepresenting the Robert Mueller thing and backing the DOJ and all kinds of ridiculous decisions, you know, like reversing course on Roger Stone or General Flynn, things like that. That's all been with him at the wheel. And now, it's time to dust off that favorite drop, because now it's time for Return of the Whistleblowers.
Blow the whistle.
They are here and they are ready. Here's the thing. I mean, I say that as if something's going to happen, because we all know the Constitution doesn't mean anything anymore.
No.
And that's the problem. And we're still playing a game where the people are going to have to figure out that the Constitution does not mean anything. So we're going to have to figure out what we do after that. So as this happens, these whistleblowers are here testifying in front of the House Judiciary Committee. And it's just like they're saying the thing we all knew. That there is just the most ridiculous politicization and like pressure campaigns on people within DOJ to do whatever is going to help President Trump. Sentence, right? It shouldn't be surprising, but when you read this, like, it's, I don't know, maybe you'll feel something, maybe you'll just go deeper into the nihilistic abyss that is trying to, you know, exist in this administration. But this is what Aaron Zelinsky, who was the Roger Stone prosecutor, said in his opening statement that he read on Wednesday to the Judiciary Committee. Part of it, he says, quote, "I was told that acting U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, Timothy Shea, was receiving heavy pressure from the highest levels of the Department of Justice to cut Roger Stone a break, and that the U.S. attorney's sentencing instructions to us were based on political considerations. I was also told that the acting U.S. attorney was giving Stone such unprecedentedly favorable treatment because he was, quote, afraid of the president," end quote. I mean, but...
That's very confusing.
Right.
I mean, just in terms of, like, this dude's, like, afraid of the president. We should probably, like, cut him some slack. And also, never, whoever's making his outfits, no longer cut him slacks. They are bad, and you should feel bad. His outfits are bad.
It's just, and everything that we, like, the other things we've heard out of whistleblowers, whether it was someone from the antitrust division being like, Bill Barr made me look at like cannabis weed, cannabis companies in Colorado for like antitrust things. And that's completely not what we do. He just wanted us to harass them because he doesn't like legal cannabis. So there's a lot of shit like this. But again, these are all things everyone has known to be true. Like this isn't really bringing anything to light aside from, you know, unfortunately, this guy Zelinsky and the other whistleblowers, I'm sure, will just get smeared to high hell on right-wing news at some point. But, you know, if we can't actually have remedies, you know, for example, one of the circuit judges basically upheld the decision to give Michael Flynn we're dropping the charges, all good.
Yeah.
That's happening all in real time from this appointee who is actually saying that, you know, once the prosecution says something, we just have to, like, the decision essentially saying, once the prosecution decides to do something, we just have to go with that. Even if it's so transparently clear that it's just steeped in corruption, that's just what the precedent is now. So, We're there.
Yeah, thank God we're not doing award seasons right now, because I don't want fucking all of these dudes hanging out in the back and giving out awards and being like, oh, it's me, I'm wacky, and now I'm dancing with the stars.
Right.
So at least there's not TV now to normalize all of their weird shittiness. Man, I wish I wasn't. I feel like I didn't mean it to be, and it feels so nihilistic, again, to be like, my brand. But I feel like I try to be as positive as I can with everything. Mm-hmm. It turns out Danielle Radford positivity has a fucking breaking point, and it was literally this year. And all the stuff I've already known, but it just, like, mm-hmm. this year, like, things happen, and you're like, everyone is the worst. So at least, and I'm not, and I say that flippantly, but we have, especially, well, not we, especially liberals, and I don't know, apparently, and I haven't looked into it, man, there's a difference between liberals and leftists, and when I do...
Progressives.
Yeah. When I do even Democrats, a smidge of research, whatever people who are in love with Biden are, I am to the left of whatever the fuck that is.
Because you're not a liberal.
Right. Tight. So like that's like I whoever people like I'm a hold my noser. So yay. But there's always, and look, I of course we have to allow for people to grow and change and learn, but I think that there is a different fucking standard when you are in government. There's a different fucking standard when you are working for government. And I know it's hard to whistleblow, and I know whatever, but you took that position knowing that shit was corrupt as fuck. No one, Trump, nothing was planned. So everyone who came in, by the time they came in, they knew that this was what it was. Right. I'm sorry. Like, there's been, nothing was planned. So many people have been cycled out. We didn't have do we have a Secretary of State right now? No one knows. Like, it's...
I mean, it's Mike Pompeo, but who knows what he does.
No, but yeah, we didn't have any of those things for a while. And so if you're coming in now, you knew what it was and you took it because you wanted the thing. And I'm sure that many of them took it because they knew that, like, well, eventually I'll get on SNL. I'll get to sell my book. I'll get on Bill Maher and say, oh, Trump sucks. Okay, well, where were you when he sucked? And why did you take the position? To me...
Right.
If you take any Trump position at any point during his presidency, you're trash, you're a shill. I'm happy if you're a whistleblower and you want to whatever, but like, where were you when it was happening? I'm
well,
sorry.
Luckily, these it gets whistleblowers, to a complicit point. They're not like appointees, so they're like career like U.S. attorneys. So they actually they resigned when the DOJ said, we want a lesser sentence. They were just like, oh, then we resigned because that's not what we're here to do. We're here to actually.
Which is also very dope. And I'm happy that folks stayed around, but it's also, I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's a double-edged sword because I feel like a lot of people too, who feel duty bound, like if you weren't a political appointee and you were in one of these positions and as your career, you were like, I was always trying to equally apply the law. That's like why I became an attorney. And then suddenly it gets co-opted. I see that there is some, you know, people who are just wanted like, maybe we can change it. But this is the thing that happens because then at a certain point, morale gets so low, you purge everybody, and then you're going to fill it with the kinds of people who absolutely are just all the invertebrate snakes and shit.
And I do and I do understand the idea of like, well, we're going to stay and try to change it from the inside. Yeah.
It's fucked either way. I think there's really no... It's hard to say one's better than the other.
There's no Brockoviches in this, man. Like, there's no...
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, just the first couple years of like people who worked for the EPA, like under the Trump administration, like listening to they were like, we got to stick around because the people he brings in next are going to be like way worse. And they just got ground into dust.
And I think that's my thing is that like you and okay, maybe, and it's true, it's fair. They might not have known that that was what was going to happen. We did, but maybe they had hope. I wish that more of them, I know that they were trying to do it. And there's also like a media responsibility. And if you weren't flashy for the media, you weren't getting coverage. I get it. But the idea that it could be, I will stay with this administration and take it down from the inside. That's why all of you followed like these weird blah, 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 anonymous. Oh, I'm with, and we all did. I did. Man, I probably have to go back and purge this as soon as this fucking thing comes out. Like, oh, I'm EPA anonymous. I am Parks anonymous. Right. I'm blah, 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 blah. Because we want to believe there are people trying to take it down from the inside. Man, there just weren't. And I think that there might have been more power in a surge of people. And I know it's hard because money and family and responsibility. But you know what? You guys all have more of that than the rest of us do. Like more money, more ability.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think even then it's the idea that you can bring this down from the inside, I think is just a fallacy in and of itself.
It's a dream.
Only things we've seen is you bring it down from the outside. Because when people got outside and started bringing shit down, we started seeing things happen. This, you know, this
and that's literally how it's always happened. Yeah. This isn't right. new.
Exactly. Like this sort of, you know, faux decorum we have around the idea of like passing these laws to get things done. Like that, it's almost just like this weird, you know, just putting the brakes on getting to the end game of equality we're trying to get to. And so, you know, I think people need to be just as engaged and willing to realize that we also have power in solidarity too, that can clearly was able to communicate some ideas over the last month.
Yeah. And if you're like a weird holdover and you are making like 20 grand a month, like, or not a month, sorry, 20 grand a year, like, okay, it's not great, but like, I get it for poor people, but no one, like, come on, if you're working for the DOJ and you're making 150, whatever amount that you're making a year, anything like I know houses, families, I get it. But at a certain point, you gotta have a reckoning with yourself and just sit down and have a, I don't know, man.
Well, the hardest part is because the reason I feel like you even say like, that doesn't work, but I don't know, I get it, is because we understand though implicitly that because of the way this system works of having to work to live, because if you don't work, you have no house, you have no health insurance, nothing, that's how people, like, that's your option.
It turns basically out, maybe the system, capitalism sucks, maybe.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think if people haven't figured that shit out. Hold on, let me get in here before this thing gets off the tracks here.
Turns out maybe we should examine the entire system. Maybe
you want every Circuit City and Toys R Us to shut down? Okay.
You want
guy from 2000?
You want every Radio Shack to be out of business? Yeah. You want every Blockbuster to not be there?
Oh, okay, that'll be the day.
That'll be the day.
Oh, sure.
Grocery store business runs like the post office. Right. All right. Let's talk real quickly or at length about what Cassie DeCosta called on the Daily Beast Hollywood's blackface apology tour. She said, not very convincing. Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, the Jimmys, and Tina Fey.
Yeah, I mean, hey, they're doing a great job of doing the thing we were saying don't do, which is just do symbolic things that make people believe you understand what's going on. You know, Kimmel say he was sorry. He was simply, and even in his apology, he was defending his blackface wearing by saying, you know, I was just trying to impersonate a fellow human. That's how I saw it. I didn't see it. Get the fuck out.
Sorry.
Fall back.
I apologize. No, it's
literally
I'm doing the color thing.
Yeah, it's bullshit. And it's so tired. Like that's, and actually a nice try to try and defend your racist bullshit, but you just played yourself even in that defense, Jimmy Kimmel. Fallon was doing the same thing. Tina Fey is like, you know, the episodes that in 30 Rock where characters were in blackface, strike them from the record so that no evidence remains of my transgressions when history looks back on the work I may have done or not have done, may have not done. And I think a lot of people, if depending on how engaged you are in this topic, would be like, wow, they get it. But that's what the whole thing is meant to do, is just to communicate that people get it. But this whole thing isn't just about George Floyd and the countless others that have been murdered by police. This is a larger reckoning with systemic racism and white supremacy and all the ways in which it disenfranchises people and keeps them oppressed. I think that's why we also see people in Europe are like, yeah, actually, even though we're not in America, we're feeling this feeling of like anti-blackness, oppression, colonialism, slavery, whatever. Let's fucking take this shit down. There's motivation to address that. So these symbolic things of like saying I'm sorry or you'll never find those episodes on, you know, Peacock or whatever the fuck. They're just these gestures. And it takes more than like firing a couple bad cops for us to be like, okay, the police get it. Or deleting these clips of you in blackface. We're asking for real fucking change. We're asking for like systemic changes, overhaul. So in the same way that we're saying law enforcement needs to be completely defunded, abolished, and rethought of how we enforce the laws and even think of what we consider crime, because really, most of the time when we talk about crime, we're just talking about poor people trying to survive. Mm-hmm. And it's a very disingenuous label that makes anybody who's struggling less than a person who deserves dignity. We are also asking that Hollywood and every place has the same mindset of defunding and abolishing the bullshit within the realm you operate in. It's not just Hollywood can't just be like, well, you know, we paid for that all Black Lives Matter on Hollywood Boulevard that we then let the city, you know, water fucking pressure wash out the second the things ended. It's about looking at the levers you're at and what levers you can pull. So I'd rather hear what these three people who are very powerful in television and comedy saying, actually, you know what? I realize I can now, there is a way for me to completely flip the fucking tables here because I'm at the table. But they just want to do, getting rid of the blackface clips.
Yeah. Miles, Jack, can I tell you that I am so fucking tired?
Yeah.
Mm. We do this every 2 years. We do this every 2 years. This one felt different for a second. We'll see what happens. I'm so fucking tired, man. Yeah. It's always black folks getting murdered, queer folks. Maybe we don't have rights all of a sudden and we don't know. And then this time we got lucky because this bunch of assholes decided that we get to have rights a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Women are talking about all of the stuff that happened in the workplace. I'm so fucking tired, you guys. Like, I wish that I had like a more eloquent, funny way to phrase it. And I probably will, like, literally 3 seconds after I get off, I'll be like, there was a funny line I could have said. I am at that intersection of like so many of these things where I'm just like, I'm fucking exhausted. I like Tina Fey. I think she's very funny. I think that she has long had issues with, and a lot of people have said like, well, that was the point of that character. Okay, cool. What about the other stuff? What about like you can say, well, the point of that character was that they were shitty, but why? There's a way to make jokes that reflect that the character is a shit person. Right. And there's a way to make jokes where it's like, I just want to make that joke. Why on Kimmy Schmidt was there a dude who was named like Dong? Like that is, that character had agency and was able to be like, that's shitty, but you kept making that joke, my dude.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you can't make jokes that push the envelope or whatever, because that's always like the defense. I'm not saying you can't do that, but like actually do that. Don't just be like, oh, well, it's blackface, it's whatever. And we've talked about it. I think you guys have talked about it. I think as a comedy community, we've all talked about it. In the 2000s, we were all fucking reckless, man. Like, like the currency was be as shocking as you could, do the most shocking shit that you could. Yes. And that was the currency. And I think a lot of people have a lot to reckon with back then. And I think a lot of us have moved on from that because we recognize that was shitty and awful.
And lazy.
And actually,
like, not because I think jokes about race, that's like the boss level of humor and irony. If you can craft actually accurate, eloquent humor or jokes around race, it's not easy. And I think a lot of people just do the thing of like, dude, I'm just pointing out that that's racist and we're laughing that that thing is racist. And that's lazy versus crafting some kind of joke that actually goes deeper than saying racism exists and actually, you know, exposing the psyche of the kinds of people who engage in it. Those are the jokes I find myself. They're almost like the kind of jokes you don't laugh because they're so real. You just go,
Well, yeah, like there's a huge difference between like, oh, well, you guys are just supposed to know that I did this thing, like the Sarah Silverman show. You guys are just supposed to know it was ironic. Are we? Is that how jokes work? Because if it's not funny, whatever, it doesn't communicate the idea. And that was even in the 2000s. This was like too recent.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I have opinions about cancel culture that I don't think it fucking exists. First of all, I think usually the people who are like, oh, we canceled, blah, 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 we got them out of here. It's kids, man, being stupid and wanting to spread memes on your Twitter hashtags, on your TikToks, what the kids are doing. Most people who are genuinely thoughtful people are not going around being like, we canceled this, unless they're joking. it's not about cancel culture. It's about like, yo, you did this thing. Fucking own up to it. Learn and move on. And I think that when people are able, depending on what they did, because some shit it's like you raped a bunch of kids, you don't, maybe you get to just be in jail forever,
right?
But I do think that there is a space for people to learn and grow, but I also think that like you should probably, more than just erasing the shit that you did, acknowledge the learning and growing.
Yeah. Or realize, yo, actually, I need to sub myself out and I need to sub somebody else in.
Well, and this is like a maybe a niche reference. I don't know. But DJ No Name was someone who No Name was she classically, well, not classically, a lot of people don't know this, but No Name was someone who learned from things that she had said, did the reading, learned, and then made this great book club for people to be like, hey, these are like things you can read to like learn about stuff, because we don't come out of the womb knowing things. Mm-hmm. And the reading is out there, and that's dope and that's good work. And there are a lot of people who have said like, hey, I've done some stuff in the past that was like really shitty and terrible, and I take responsibility, and this is what I'm doing to move forward. And like, I feel like, again, except for like the major things where it's like, hey, maybe don't ask a bunch of 16-year-olds for their titties. For the most part, I think that we're all in a place where it's like, yo, no one's born perfect, but like, just acknowledge you did shit. We've all done shit that was fucked up, man. Just acknowledge that you did shit that was fucked up and be like, yo, you're right. I fucked up. I'm learning. Yeah, here's what I'm doing. And not just like erasing the thing where you're like, oh, this was terrible, I guess we have to get rid of it. Cool, but
people, yeah, they're more concerned about the actual financial aspects of it than the human growth. You know what I mean? I think because that's what these people doing these things just help them appear, so their ad dollars can still flow in, and they've always been on the right side of like a political take or something to try and shield them from this kind of real valid criticism. But in this thing, in this article that this opinion piece that Cassie DeCastro, she brings up cancel culture in an interesting way. She says, still on the other side of, this is from her article, still on the other side of an apology, no matter how butchered or non-existent, is the question of forgiveness. And this is usually the space where the idea of cancel culture materializes. Often when we think about forgiveness, we think of a transaction. I'll give you one forgiveness for one apology, or I'll give you no forgiveness for endless apologies. In cancel culture, the idea is that the harm committed is so great that there should be no path to forgiveness, and in particular to the continued accumulation of wealth or benefit in the community or industry in which the harm was committed. In reality, it's rare for a real cancellation to occur for the rich and famous.
Exactly.
The rich, no matter how publicly reviled, tend to remain rich.
Exactly. And that's like the fuck, I'm sorry, like that's exactly, and that's one of the reasons why it's like most people don't take that shit seriously. Like,
yeah,
if you have money, you're fine. You take a break for 2 years, you take a breather. Louis C.K. is still doing shows. Like all of these people are still doing shows and performing. Bill Cosby is in jail, but if he wasn't in jail,
appealing. He's going to appeal his charge, isn't he?
Of course he is. He has money.
Yeah. I think he just was able to start, like, they just said now that he could appeal.
Yeah, man, and you know what? He's older and he has the name of Cosby and the money of Cosby, but it's like most people like are not got up out. Like there are smaller names. But if you have enough money, yeah, you can dodge all of it. And that's why it's also, everyone calls cancel culture a thing. Who's actually been canceled? It's mostly just like kids posting memes on Facebook and the rest of us being like, well, that's a shitty thing. How about you talk about it? And we don't ever talk about, the discussion isn't, oh, well, a bunch of people asked them to be accountable for things that they did. It's always like, well, blah, blah, blah was canceled. Because if that was the case, like there's so many people that would have been gotten out the paint. Like there are so many blah 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 was canceled parties. Taylor Swift canceled party has been trending a million times and will trend a million more times. That's not real or valid.
Yeah.
And it's also, again, unless you like committed like crimes, I think most of us are like learned shit. And then each one teach one.
I think it's a way just for people who feel powerless to feel like that's a thing they yes. that can be done. It's like, well, the law clearly won't handle this. Clearly the industry you're in won't handle this. So the most I can do as a human being is put you in this space in my brain, which is canceled, which is like, you are done, because that's the only justice I can serve out in any way, is to for me to completely disconnect myself from this person and not support them and not be say a good word, because what I'm seeing reflected back to me is that there actually is no way for someone who's a transgressor to have any kind of, at least when you're rich, because yeah. I think the people who go viral on Twitter, it's like, if you have a job, a 9-to-5, you can be canceled clearly for your racism. Like, there's a way where you see the same thing, viral video of a person being racist, cut to, you know, them losing their job or something like that. Right. That's like the that's like the closest thing I've seen where there's, you know, documented evidence of someone behaving completely in a terrible fashion. Right. And then there are repercussions for them that would signal to them that this is not a good way for you to behave. Because when you're at a certain socioeconomic level, those lessons just don't reach you.
Right. And it's also, I mean, and you're right. Like, a lot of it is that it is just people being like, I don't have power. But I could, again, tweet this meme, do this thing, have this joke. There is, to me, a big difference between everyone has the right to say, you did something that I am not cool with. I am not going to support you monetarily. I am not going to support the art that you make. And like, that's at its core. When people say this person was canceled, the reason why companies and other places stop supporting someone is because they're like, oh, well, people aren't gonna buy your, like, we're in capitalism, we are all just fucking pawns, dude. Like, it's how much money we can make this person or that person or whatever. If you don't make them money, that's when you get quote unquote canceled, because they're like, well, we can't make money off of you anymore, so we're just gonna move you off the board. And everyone has a right to say what they will or will not support monetarily. And a lot of the stuff I see that's anti-cancel culture is very much like, well, you have to support me, or you have to support this. No, I don't. I don't support anything that, right. with my money and my resources. Right. That's trash. And that's why companies say, like, we don't want to work with anyone anymore, because it's capitalism all the way down, dude.
Has Jane Krakowski said anything about being in blackface?
Does she have a Twitter account or even know what
that is? Are they like, is she absolved because she didn't write it and she's merely like the actor? Because I'm curious to hear too. Like, it's not, you know, on some level, as a performer, you get the script and you're looking at it and like, wait, I'm doing blackface in this episode? And you're either like, oh my God, I love it. It's going to be so funny. Lol. Or did she feel really uncomfortable and just felt that societally she wasn't, you know, we weren't at a place where she could speak up and advocate on behalf of, you know, other people? Like, I'm interesting to see all those levels, because on, you know, it's not just Tina Fey. Like, it's also the actor who then embodies the script and goes out there. And I get it. You have contracts and things like that. But I'm just curious to know what they're feeling, what their thought process is in this moment, looking back, when Tina Fey seems to be getting a lot of the, you know, headlines.
Well, and honestly, she should be, as it was her show. She should be.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. I feel like she has to account. I'm just curious what that experience is like for her.
I wonder, well, because it's, oh God, it's like speaking up about anything else, right? There's a possibility that she went in and said, I am really uncomfortable with this. Or I guess at that point had her management come in and say, we're really uncomfortable with this. And then someone smooths it over and says, no, like, this is the intent. It's totally going to be fine. We've been doing this forever. We know what the line is, and we know that this is okay.
Right.
And also, she is a very talented actress, and she is really funny in that show. Name me major roles that she has done that hasn't been Tina Fey.
Ally McBeal.
Right. Tight. Name me major role. Well, no. And I think that that's great, but like,
that's where she, I mean, no, I don't.
No,
yeah,
no,
that's
no,
true.
No, no. You're right. But like, name me in the last, like, those were her things. And she, it sucks, man, but it's,
you hit your wagon to a star and it's kind of like, this has taken me to a certain point.
And this was she wasn't even originally cast for that role. That was supposed to be, what's her butt? Sorry, I can't think of names right now. My brain
Rachel
is broken.
Dratch?
Rachel Dratch. And in the pilot, that was Rachel Dratch, and it wound up being her. And I don't even, man, I don't know how much people get paid. I'm sure that it's more than I make. But it's also, Jane Krasinski, like, she's not bowling over Hollywood and getting a lot of work. That is one of those things where it's like, this might be my one nut to last me the rest of my life. She was a woman who was not young. And that makes a difference. And it doesn't excuse it. But it, to me, it makes more of a like, it's not exactly like she could go and make a commiserate. Like when I talk about people who work at DOJ and people who work at the White House and other stuff, you could go to a law office and make that money. You could go to other places. Yeah, it's not the prestige. It's not the White House. But you can make that money elsewhere. I don't, again, what is Jane Krasinski, is she going to work at a radio shack? Like, what's she going
to
do?
There's no place for an actor or performer, you know, to go and just say like, well, here's my resume. Okay. So can I get this, you know, acting teacher gig at this high school?
Or,
you know what I mean? Like, cause the industry is dominated by this singular way of thinking and a very homogeneous culture that is running it at the top that, like that's the other thing again, that to this point of like, that has to be addressed too and broken up because that's systemic, the same thing. Yeah. And even like with, when, you know, Jon Stewart was talking about how, like, the writer's room practices in The Daily Show, sort of like, we didn't, you know, we removed, you know, any kind of names that would signify like gender or race or anything like that. So we're just going off the work. But at a certain point, because everybody's thinking the same, you're just going to agree with everything that's reflecting your shared worldview and it's never going to challenge you. And then you're like, wait, how did we end up like this?
And who's getting let into Harvard? And who has money to do UCB? And who has money to do these unpaid internships where they can learn how to write things? And who has
The thing from, I really like Tina Fey's Bossy Pants memoir, but there's this passage where she talks about, like, it's like a joke, a sentence. She's like a very funny writer, but there's this passage where she writes about how she constructs a writer's room. And she literally says half of the people have to be from Harvard and the other half of the people need to be from Second City or UCB. And it's just like, well, there's your problem.
And then one screwball and one wacky one who does the jokes that you say, ah, we don't do that.
But I'm going to say this right now. I have been doing comedy. Okay, I've been, take it way back. I've been acting for basically all of my life. Like, I mean, student stuff, high school stuff, whatever. But I've been acting for most of my life. I have been doing stand-up for, gosh, I don't know, over a decade. I have been in L.A. For, what, 6-7 years. And then when I first got here, I was doing a bunch of temp work and whatever. This is going to sound shitty, but it's true. I have a TV gig. I am working on TV and it's very recent. I have just now gotten to the point where I could afford a fucking UCB class. That is fucking stupid. No, that's fucking stupid. My college is obviously like that stuff is also trash that I can't fucking afford or pay for. But at least, I mean, it's all shit, but at least those were loans. Before, and I'm not even kidding, before I got booked on a TV gig as a writer and to do voiceover, I could not afford a UCB class.
Right.
Trash, man.
Yeah.
Trash.
Yeah.
The only way I could, like, when I started getting into comedy, it's when I left politics and I just had to save a ton of money because I was like, man, I was just looking at these classes. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, I got to pay $600 for some guy who I don't think is funny to tell me how to write. But fine.
And they're rarely ever fucking funny.
Right. And I'm like, I guess I know how to, but I know the game now and I can write a great game sketch. But also like when you have, the other thing is too, like you get instructors there who like don't understand your humor and shit on you, or their critiques of your work has a dampening effect on your creativity rather than like being an actual nurturer, like as a teacher. And then it's, you know, there's so many levels too, where there are a lot of cultural mismatches in comedy where people are like telling groups of people that that's not funny or this isn't as funny, da, 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 da. But yeah, it's tough.
At theater school, and this was, I mean, granted, this was a long time ago. I won't say how long, but I would get notes because I was the only black person in my theater class. I would get notes that would be like too urban, too this, too that. Like, why are you this urban? Why are you this, that, or whatever? I have never experienced working at Second City or UCB, but for things I've heard from other people, it's only been very recently where they've been like, Oh, yeah, I guess your all-black team can, like, do a herald or whatever. I guess, like, it's valid and you don't have to blank yourself totally out. Because when they say, and this was an experience I had in theater school, they say to make yourself neutral. Neutral is white. Neutral is not anything else. Neutral is get rid of everything that's, excuse me, oh, God, I'm burping up coffee. Neutral is not, the default is white, and that is what is taught in schools. Is that that is your default, is you have to talk this way, you have to whatever, like you have to have a Midwestern accent, you have to be okay with straightening your hair, and like some things are like, okay, like tattoos, whatever, piercings, okay, I get it, those things are optional, but...
Yeah, who you are as a human being.
Who you are as a human being, yeah, but that is the expectation. If you want to get ahead, you have to be neutral, and being neutral means being white.
Right. And I think this goes back to how at every level, no matter where someone is, you have opportunities to correct the course of these kinds of things. Like if you find yourself as a teacher, think of your curriculum and what you are communicating to your students. Or if you work somewhere and you know that there's a way for you to change something where you work to actually address this problem, like let's say just say, well, we don't get a lot of black people who apply for the job. It's probably because you don't post your job anywhere either. And it could be so insular that your job is strictly through word of mouth. And because of that, you've completely cut off people who are not in your social group or socioeconomic class. There are things like that, just very subtle things you could look at that are very telling, and people can actually do little things like do that work.
Do you pay for your internships? And if you do, what colleges are you looking through? Are you just looking for colleges, or are you also looking, there are very talented people in all things. Like, would it be possible for people to say, I want to do an internship? And yeah, maybe I did community college, but I'm not at Harvard. Like maybe I've done, or even I've written this many articles that have been published, or I've written these things, I can show you my work. Yeah, I didn't get into Yale, but like, for some of this, I'm sorry, man, for comedy writing, you ain't gotta fucking
You don't
go
need
to,
that. You don't need that.
You gotta go to fucking Yale, man. I'm sorry. You don't. You don't.
Yeah, you have to go to Harvard.
You don't need to be in the Lampoon. We're not splitting fucking atoms here, man.
All right, guys, we have to take another quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And real quickly, I just wanted to talk about a cool thing that I saw in the media, which is this massive like dust cloud that's floating across the Atlantic. It's about to swallow the southeast of the United States. You can see it from space. The pictures from space are wild. It's just like a big brown spot on the Atlantic.
Oh my
Ocean.
God.
Like it takes up almost all of the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
But this kind of got me going down a rabbit hole where I had seen in a Netflix nature documentary that like a lot of the life in the ocean comes from dust that gets blown from land over the ocean, and then it goes down and like there's all these minerals that then feed the plankton. And but they were saying that like 50% of the particles in the air in southern Florida every summer come from Africa. Like that's how much of an interchange there is between the two like land masses and their dust. So it's pretty rad. It's making the Caribbean look like Mexico in a Steven Soderbergh movie, but it's pretty cool looking from space and pretty wild that like I don't know can blow a whole cloud clear across the world.
It's wild to like when you think of the power of the Sahara Desert and what it can do. Like when I was like in Ghana, there's like a season called Hamatan where the winds from the Sahara basically turn like West Africa into this hazy time. And I remember being like, what is this? And when you realize, you're like, oh shit, right, I'm on just a different part of Earth. I'm so unfamiliar with how this very specific landmass affects fucking everything. Like, I think it takes phosphorus back to the fucking Amazon and the rainforest. Yeah. Like, it's truly this very nurturing thing where, you know, shout out to Africa taking care of the rest of the world again. But this whole thing now where like the scientists are like baffled. They're like, it hasn't been this dense in like 60 years. And that's going to be interesting. Like all that particulate stuff on top of COVID-19, that's where it gets a little, who knows like what kind of, you know, respiratory problems that could cause, because again, we're talking about particulate matter in there.
So it won't fix everything? Cause we need something. No. Come on, Africa. All we do is fix everything.
It does dampen, or I guess the opposite of dampen, earthquake season, because the earthquakes can't, the air can't get enough moisture because there's so
you
much
mean hurricane.
Dust in it. Hurricane season. I said earthquake season.
I like earthquake season.
I was going to ask questions, but Miles had it. Some people genuinely think earthquake season is a thing. And maybe
weather,
it is, and maybe it is, man, and I just can't see quantum physics, but I, and I'm from Seattle, so it's like, anything that isn't rain is baffling to me. I don't know how weather works.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is yet another thing that, for the aliens that are just watching the planet from on high, like, they're probably just like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Because can y'all just
there's
come?
This giant dust cloud. There's the locust swarm that is like, you know, going, I think, west. Or no, it's going east from Africa up to Western Asia. And like I was reading about like what a locust swarm that hit the United States in the, I think it was late 19th, early 20th century was like. And it is... it's like you're in a blizzard of but the blizzard is insects, and it's just like covered. Like there's inches, like your shoes are filled with insects. It's wild. So anyway,
and just to add to that, I mean, there's, you know, just massive fires in the Arctic Circle right now too, that people are like, it's been uncharacteristically warm, and now we just have wildfires burning up the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
Guys, we have a front row seat to the worst show in the universe.
Yeah. Speaking of front row seat, so I did just want to do this quick guessing game of what do you think the classic movie is that has topped the box office at like drive-through movie theaters? And I will just say that I think it would be a fun movie to watch at a drive-through.
I'm trying to think of what I've seen ads for, because I know like in LA, the older movies I've seen them advertise have been, like one was E.T. and another was not like Pee Wee. It was some another 80s movie. What decade is it from?
90s.
Oh, 90s movie is number one.
Oh, okay. I have a thought.
Yeah.
Is it Independence Day? Pew, pew, pew.
No. No.
Armageddon?
That's a good guess. What'd you say?
Armageddon?
No. No.
Damn.
So the reason I think it's kind of appropriate is because a lot of the movie takes place in a parked car or parked cars.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Wait. No.
The morning after? No.
No.
Is that real or is that a pill? I thought that was an apocalypse movie. That might be just
the day
the
after
pill.
Tomorrow, you mean?
Oh, the day after tomorrow, right. Oh, yeah, because they're kind of like huddled up in cars, like freezing a lot of time.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Okay, what is it?
Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah, yes. That's fair.
Jaws is up there, too. But you were on the right track with Spielberg. But
Jaws,
yeah, Jurassic Park, the number one movie in America last weekend.
It's like,
the number one theater. $517,000, but still.
This feels like the thing, like, in my mind, I thought a solar flash, you know, magnetic, like, wiping out the Earth's electronics. And I'm like, that's why I have all the albums I will ever want to listen to on vinyl, where I will never rely on the CD. I can always have this shit on. I don't give a fuck. There can be no electricity. I can hand crank that shit and put my ear near the needle, and I can still hear Jay Dilla. So there's shit like that where, this feels like that world where our technology has ceased. So then all we can do is just completely go retrospective now with all the media we consume. Yeah. And it's like,
yes.
All right, yeah, get ready for the re-release of BAPS.
All right, but act like you wouldn't see BAPS in a drive-through theater.
Oh, I saw BAPS in the theater, okay? And I know I have that ticket stub somewhere. I saw it at the AMC North 6.
Whatever happened to the short, chubby one? It's fine. We'll talk about this off air.
Yeah,
justice for the short, chubby one. Mm-hmm.
But the top 10 is Jurassic Park, Jaws at number 2, then The Invisible Man. So there's like some newer movies, Trolls World Tour at number 4, The Hunt, which is I think a
A24 movie, I think, that was like one cared. Right. The controversy was more than the movie was worth.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Okay. It was either A24 or Blumhouse, and I don't remember.
I think it was both, maybe. Then Back to the Future, and then a new movie followed, then E.T., then Jumanji, then The Goonies. It's like my favorite movies from when I was a child.
Yeah, a lot of them were released kind of around vaguely this week. So I think a lot of people are like, well, it's not necessarily an anniversary that you care about, but it's around. Because I think Back to the Future was released around 25 to 35 years ago.
Oh, that makes sense.
I don't know, man, you can't quote me, but I think it was released like there, it's close enough to an anniversary where things are like, it's Back to the Future, man, we'll just do it, who cares.
And also it's like good marketing from the drive-ins, because Jack, for that exact reason, you're like, oh, I love that movie. Guess what, you're the dad driving the kids to the drive.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So if you can bait the parents, like, because it's also funny, like, now we're in that phase where I remember, like, movies, like, my parents, like, oh, you're going to love this. I used to love that. Oh, if I loved it, you're going to love this one. And I'm like, what the fuck? Andromeda Strain is bullshit, bro. Like, I don't like this shit. Like, I was too young. I was too young is what I'm saying.
Right.
Or, like, Thunder. He's like, oh man, this James Bond. I'm like, this is old as shit, bro. This looks dumb as fuck to me. But I remember that excitement of like a parent trying to be like, you're gonna like this, and be like, no,
trying to get you excited about the thing that they're excited about. Yeah,
I'm like, put. Yeah.
So what do you do if you don't have a car? I never could
get into the old James Bond movies.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because I don't just, drive. So what, do I just like pay an Uber driver to hang out with me for? Oh God, do I have to date so I can go see movies now?
Wow. Hey, you're sitting on a genius rom-com script that Lifetime will probably buy immediately.
Meet cute.
I wonder if you could just like ride your bike up or like what, you know, like, and just because it's still.
No, because okay, if people are getting gone out the paint for trying to get through a drive through for Wendy's, I'm not doing it for, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not. But yeah, so this is like, I haven't, I'm single during Quarquar. I don't have a car.
Okay, so, you know. Hop in. Let's people offer rides at the very least. Yeah. You want to borrow a car?
Okay, see, date in the front, me in the back, the way God intended. It's a date mullet.
Date mullet. Exactly.
All right. Well, Danielle, this has been lovely having you back on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you?
If you want to find me, you can find me at Danielle Radford on Twitter. You can also, someone let me help on a TV show called The Great Debate. It's on Sci-Fi. I was one of the writers, and I am also the voice of Baron's robot sidekick, DB-8. So you can go check that out. I swear, I am usually, if you listen to any other podcast or anything I've ever done, I'm not usually this like, fuck everything, the world sucks. It did at the time, but I was just,
well, we just need people to speak their truths, you know?
Speaking my truth. If you guys want to find me, those are the places. But mostly watch The Great Debate, because I would really like season two, because I'm actually really proud of it. And I think that we did. It's a really fun thing about nerd debate topic panel stuff. Writer. Voice money Baron Vaughn.
And you have cred though too, so we like
I'm always happy to be back, man. I love doing the show.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Ooh, let me look, because I favorited some stuff in anticipation. Here it is. Here's my favorite tweet of the last day. Rudy Giuliani tweeted,
yep.
Wake up! Black Lives Matter wants to destroy law enforcement and bail, empty the prisons, including drug dealers as well as users, provide themselves with reparations and a full-time government income without the necessity of work. Guys, I think that Rudy Giuliani I think he just joined the revolution. So,
Miles, where can people find you, and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network, Miles of Gray. If you like 90 Day Fiance, check out 420 Day Fiance, where I talk about that show with Sophia Alexandra. Some tweets that I really am liking. Let's see. First one is from Farrah Brooke, says, sorry, honey, but you're a phase four friend. as things reopen. I think you realize, like, some people you know, you've done maybe like a quick social distance hang with, and then other people are like, nah, that ain't, I'm going to pretend like the pandemic's still real bad when you text me. And then there's another one is from at Ain't Shit Junior. It says, I'm officially off the market. I'm still single. I'm just giving up.
Great.
Oh, and actually, the other one I really liked, I'm just going through my list, is actually from Danielle, because I am a huge fan of the Aurora Monroe. Okay, Storm herself.
Oh, buddy.
And I believe this is from, I know the earliest depictions of Storm, she had a mohawk, right? That's like from her early, like in the 70s, didn't she have a mohawk?
I will talk about this for half an hour, but this was Aurora was having an awakening where she decided she wanted to be more of a person and less of a goddess.
Oh, I love it. So there's just a photo of her in her, I stand Storm so hard. But then with this picture, she says, hello, kitten. my apologies for being late. And then Danielle puts, late at night when all the world is sleeping, I stay up and think of you. And anyone who is a fan of Selena and Storm, that's the fucking Venn diagram for you tweet right there. So shout out to Pansexual Chocolate at Danielle Rodgers.
Thank you. Mohawk Storm will forever be my sexuality. I just... just really quickly, so it was the moment where Storm was like, I was always depicted as a goddess, but that's really weird, and now I just want to be one of the people, and I learned to stab Morlocks. Anyway, it's
boom.
And I can talk about it at length. Mohawk Storm.
Bridget Todd at Bridget Marie tweeted, unmuting Zoom to fake laugh.
Oh my god. Oh, I feel that in my heart.
Oh shit.
Real. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at The Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link up the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding out on today?
This is a track with like some odd meter, you know, it's going between, I don't know the key signature. I feel like at times it's in 4/4 and then times it'll go into 7. But look, that's up for all the, you know, the rhythm nerds out there who like it. It's a really, despite the odd meter, it has a really great beat. And like this sort of like disembodied synthesized voice. The track is called Old Bone and it's the Jimmy Stack remix. And it's by an artist, Wet. But it's just got like, I don't know, it just feels, again, I'm like, the aesthetic that it feels like is like if you're feeling good in like a dystopian future world. So there's like, there's funky elements to it, but there's also some nice stuff in there that gets your toe tapping.
Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning's episode. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.